Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, Clay Jenkinson, the presidential historian, and featured prominently in Ken Burns' The National Parks. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Fred Locken, Michael Hackett, and Wayne Frediani. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in 1 day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Yeah, I've heard of them. They help to grow your trucking business?
You bet. Employee background check, safety training. My claims even went down.
Sounds great, but expensive.
Well, they saved me 25% and my rates haven't gone up in, about 10 years.
So do they work with builders?
Sure do.
That works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome back to the program Clay Jenkinson. He's a humanities scholar, presidential historian, and was featured prominently in Ken Burns' series, The National Parks. Pleasure to have you back on the program,
sir.
Great
to be here.
All right, we're fighting three wars simultaneously, if you count Libya. Is there a time in our history that we've been doing that before? And
no.
What did the founders think about that?
World War II was, in a sense, wars on many fronts, the huge European front and the Japanese front, but that was a different sort of entity. This is the first time in our history that we've done three essentially unnecessary wars, wars of choice. Certainly Libya is a war of choice. We had absolutely no reason that we had to move into that one. And Iraq, we now know, was waged on false assumptions, maybe false statements. Afghanistan is a little bit different. It comes right out of the September 11th catastrophes. But the Founding Fathers wouldn't like any of this. And here's Jefferson's answer, Sam. He believed that all wars had to start from the House of Representatives, and they had to be paid for with ready money. So if any of these recent presidents had gone to the American people and said, I'm thinking of taking us into a very expensive war in X, and by the way, your tax bill will go up $27,000 this year to pay for it, so we can pay as we go, there'd be no wars. I mean, Jefferson knew there would be no wars except just ones if people had to pay for them as they unfolded, and the House of Representatives, the people's branch, had to authorize them. We've let that slip.
Well, also, if we had conscription, these wars wouldn't have never even started.
No. Conscription was not something Jefferson liked because he didn't like coercion of any sort. But conscription democratizes a war. It does in our time what the House of Representatives was meant to do in Jefferson's time. In other words, if every time you wanted to go to war, you had to say, and one out of seven children at random, who's 18 years old will be selected, whether you're rich or poor or powerful or not, there'd be no wars. When you democratize the cost of the war in pain, in blood, in money, in sacrifice, people, Jefferson said, will not go to war unless it's absolutely necessary for national survival.
Let's talk about the level of partisanship in this country. Everything seems to be either to the right or to the left, but it seems to be the middle is disappearing. You know, if you look at Nevada history, there were times at the state legislature where guns and knives were drawn. What other areas can you look at on a national basis to show the level of partisanship that would have existed in the past?
Well, in Jefferson's time, it was viciously partisan. They called each other terrible names, and they each argued that the other party would lead the country into national self-destruction. There were character assassinations. There were duels. Hamilton and Burr fought a fatal duel, a fatal at least to Hamilton. There were canings and beatings on the floor of the House of Representatives and the United States Senate. This was an awful time. But there was so much at stake then, Sam. We were trying to decide what sort of a nation we were going to be, and we knew that once we went down a path, it would be very hard to come back. And the Civil War was a time of that sort. Now there is so little at stake. It's really Tweedledee and Tweedledum. We're either going to have a larger healthcare system or a smaller one. We're either going to have three wars or two. The two parties do not represent any fundamental difference about this country, although they pretend that they do. And so they're using the rhetoric of cataclysm to talk about where the bridge should be built. That's what's so perplexing about this phenomenon, that so much rancor is loosened in the body politic over so little actual difference between the two parties.
So calling somebody or suggesting somebody might be a flake is not really that big of a...
As long as you don't cane somebody on the floor of the House, it's not that big a deal. I mean, we've been a shouting partisan, sometimes unspeakably vicious political people from the beginning. But now the question is, what are we fighting for? Because the Tea Party sorts are thinking we're fighting for the very future of this country. That can't be true. We're too far down the path.
That's interesting. Why do you say that?
Because the Tea Party people, and I have respect for them, they're Jeffersonians in a very naive sort of way, and I have a lot of respect for them, but they want to fix the country by going back to something that probably never was and can't be now. I mean, you have a child, I have a child. I don't want to go to the store and decide what antibiotic to buy for her ear infection based upon letting the buyer beware. I want a Drug and Food Administration. I don't want to go into air traffic and not know whether there are inspections in my airplane. I want the federal government to regulate the airline industry. We live in an incredibly complex world that requires government. We can't go back to a libertarian no government or very limited government model anymore, and so that's not in the cards. So what then are we fighting about? A little more or a little less?
I think we're fighting about the cost. You know, that the average person feels highly taxed, and that they want some relief.
The average person isn't highly taxed. In real dollars, we're less taxed today than we were in 1952. We're not taxing, we're borrowing. We're spending way more than we're taking in, and we're borrowing from the Chinese and from the people of South America and so on. It's working so far. They're foolish enough to keep giving us these large amounts of money. We're not paying our bills. Jefferson's main principle, and I think the Tea Party's right on this, is you pay as you go. If we need a $2 trillion budget, you raise $2 trillion in taxes, the people can't stand it, so they demand that you lower the number of things the government's going to do. That balanced budget idea is a really important one in a society like ours.
All right, let's take a break. More with Clay Jenkinson when we come back.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time. Feels like the first time. So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection. The classic songs that live on forever. You can't get this massive 8-CD collection in any store. I've got two tickets to Paradise Park. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shadd.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with presidential historian Clay Jenkinson. Let's talk about some of Ron Paul's ideas, getting rid of the Department of Education, bringing the troops back that have been for almost 60 years around the world. Your thoughts on that?
I think he's right. Not about the Department of Education. I think that, I'll come back to that. His idea that we should pull back the troops in these bases. You know, we're still protecting England and Germany and Italy, Japan. These are nations where war is no longer any immediate threat, and maybe there will be no European wars. We're only there because we're an empire. It's in our interest more than it is theirs, although they benefit economically. I think he's 100% right, Sam, that we should rethink our entire military apparatus around the world. As long as you have a big navy, and this was a Theodore Roosevelt idea, you don't need bases stationed in Germany or Italy or even Japan. And as to the problem of the Department of Education, I think Ron Paul is wrong. Great nations coordinate their national education. We have fallen behind dramatically, even precipitously, in the world's arena in math skills, literacy, early childhood development, and so on. And it shows. Those countries are out-educating us in really dramatic fashion. And unless we get serious in the United States about educating our young people for the 21st century, we will inevitably become a second or third class power. We've been living on the fumes of American power for a long time. We're the most sloppily educated major empire in world history, and we need to get serious about it or we're going to be in the ash heap of history. So he's wrong.
But on the other side of it, the Department of Education has been around for a long time. Ronald Reagan tried to get rid of it and failed. And yet we continue to see graduation rates, especially here in Nevada, are awful. Isn't it something that we should be looking at on a state-by-state level?
Yes, of course. Each state coordinates its basic education. But I don't trust the states to do it on their own. I think we need national standards, not No Child Left Behind, but real standards of international and global competitiveness. And then there need to be incentives for schools to get on board with those. And that cannot, we know from history that it can't be done in Germany on a state-by-state basis. It can't be done in Britain on a borough-by-borough basis. It has to be coordinated by the nation, because the nation can see the skill sets and the knowledge bases that its people is going to need to be competitive. The people of North Dakota and the people of Nevada can't see that as well as a national entity that exists solely for that purpose can see it.
The Tea Party and Ron Paul would like to see some kind of audit, if not getting rid of the Fed. Your thoughts on that?
Well, after the financial catastrophe of the last 4 or 5 years, I think we need the Federal Reserve in a big way. Auditing, sure, it's probably too independent of the sovereign, of the people, of the Congress, but you don't want to get rid of it. That battle was fought in Jefferson's time. You know, Hamilton wanted a national bank of the United States. Jefferson said, what do you need a bank for? Well, we could not exist as a nation without independent banking. We probably dodged the bullet in this major banking recession in the last few years because we had a Fed. If you politicize the system or brought it back within the purview of Congress, you probably make a worse problem because Congress tends to meddle. You want a semi-independent authority to handle the money supply and the monetary policy of the United States. That's one of the best things we did in the 20th century.
But don't you think that when you look back over the last several years that the involvement of government with Wall Street and the major banks really came together to cause the crisis that
it
we
did.
Suffered?
Of course it did. I'm not a financial expert. But what I understand is that we deregulated our banking industry to the point that it allowed itself to destroy the country. What's so funny about it is that then they came to us and said, well, now that we've wrecked you, bail us out. And then we did. That's the problem. They want to be capitalists when it works, but when it fails, they want bailouts. Well, that's not capitalism. Capitalism means that if you want to open a company to sell widgets, you do it, and if you go bankrupt, that's tough. That's how the system works. But if we reward corruption, cronyism, and failure, and don't punish it, you don't clean the system of these excesses. And so we have a neither here nor there system. It's partly socialist and partly capitalist, and the socializing of it is what makes the Tea Party crazy, I think, is that we're now bailing out Chrysler and we're bailing out giant banks, but we're not helping people in the city of Reno or the city of Las Vegas who can't put food on the table for their children.
Let's talk about President Obama. We've got a couple of minutes left here. The difference between running a campaign, hope and change, and governing. Is there a comparison between what we've seen in the last 3 years in our history? We got about a minute.
I don't know. Jimmy Carter maybe a little bit, because you know he campaigned and said that he was going to bring honesty back to government. He would never lie to the American people, etc. And he was a terrible president in one respect. He didn't inspire the American people. Barack Obama is an amazing campaigner. He's been a pretty lackluster administrator, I think. And when he was elected, one of my friends in North Dakota said he's going to break a lot of hearts, because he said he was going to turn this country around and solve the problem of partisan bickering and reconcile this place. And that's like saying we're going to turn the Titanic around in a bathtub.
And how does he now have to play it to get reelected?
He's doing the right things, I think. He's doing the long-term systemic things to help fix the country, but they're not popular. He's not going to get by in this election with inspiring talk. He had 4 years, and it's a pretty mediocre set of accomplishments under admittedly extraordinarily difficult circumstances, difficult economically and difficult from partisan politics. But to get reelected, he's going to have to say, but look, it's Sarah Palin, or but look, it's Michelle Bachmann. His only hope, I think, of reelection is that there is not a seriously viable Republican alternative.
And very briefly, it really comes down to the economy and jobs, right?
It does, but if it's Sarah Palin or Michelle Bachmann and people think they're pretty, they're funny, they're a lot of entertainment, but they're not presidential material, he might still win. That's sometimes what happens. It happened to George Bush in 2004.
And that's where you got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Great to see
you.
We'll
be right back to the Newsmakers.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. A reliable, efficient network. Cleaner energy resources, like solar, wind, and geothermal. And technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Championship courses and life's distractions fading away.
Join the area's best locals program, the Talon Club at Red Hawk.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Fred Locken is here, Professor of Political Science at Truckee Meadows Community College, Michael Hackett, Vice President of Allrisk Consulting, and Wayne Frediani, Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Wayne, the question for you. It came out of the legislature, Delane Goldberg writing in The Sun on Sunday, a self-driving robot car is about to hit Nevada highways, and this is a Google thing. Tell us about this. And should we be scared?
I don't know that much about it, to be quite honest with you.
Well, the technology is that you can have cars that drive themselves, that are able to sense the distance between each other, and hopefully that these will become the safer cars of the future.
Well,
cars will be able to drive closer together.
The manufacturers, there's no question, are coming with some really advanced stuff. And you've seen that with some of the products that are already out there right now, the self parks and that sort of stuff.
I need that.
I think that the safety features are great. I guess one of the issues will be, is it affordability? I mean, what are these things going to cost? What are they going to do to the price of vehicles? And are people going to be willing to pay the additional cost for these little gadgets?
I want to ask, if you're driving down the freeway doing 65 or 70 miles an hour and you look over and there's nobody in the car next to you, what are you thinking?
Well, I'd probably be relieved because I'm shocked at what I see there now. Going to work every morning scares the death out of me, and maybe the computers taking over would be a good thing.
All right, let's change topics. Interesting fight going on the Democratic side in the Senate race. Byron Georgiou declared himself and put in a lot of his own money. Senator Reid appears not to want him to run. Your thoughts on this?
Well, I think we were kind of discussing this a little bit earlier, but I think that shows the commitment that is being made to Shelley Berkley's campaign for the Senate seat, and I think that's going to be a unwavering commitment on the part of the U.S. Senate Majority Leader, and I really think that's going to be the way it's going to be.
And Fred, it's the brutality of politics.
Well, it is. I think it says a lot about Senator Reid, and he was all but written out of the campaign last year against Sharon Angle and came back strong. So he has a real good read, I think, of Nevada politics, and this is representing, the idea here is to stay focused, don't get more than one candidate. You're really in the campaign, get them out early.
Yeah.
All really, really good advice to make sure that the Democrats win this race.
But do you think Mr. Georgiou is going to give up?
I don't think he's going to give up, but I think the odds are definitely in Shelley's favor. She's a very hard campaigner. I don't think anybody will out-campaign her. She works hard. She's going to have Senator Reid's backing. She's going to have money. It's going to be a very tight race.
And not only is it going to be money coming to these candidates, but how much money is going to come from outside, considering that this state is a bellwether state?
Exactly. And that's going to be the real headline. Although we didn't really focus on it with Angle and Reid as much as I thought we would. Half the campaign money came from outside the state of Nevada for that. $50 million. That's huge for the state of Nevada. And I think we see another race coming.
Well, and you've also already got one of the conservative groups buying time in Nevada this week, American Crossroads, and they were a huge player, Karl Rove funded group. Mm-hmm. And after that Citizens United decision, now you're just going to see even more money, aren't you, from the unions and from the corporations?
Well, I agree. I think you're going to see a lot of money coming in. And actually, to be honest with you, I was a little surprised how much money came from in-state, though, in terms of the last campaign, because I know that most of Angle's money was coming from outside of the state. So that's an interesting dynamic, but I agree with what you say. I think there is going to be a lot of money flowing.
David McGrath Schwartz, writing in The Sun last Friday, said Michael Robeson is positioned to lead the state Senate Republicans. Good thing, bad thing? A freshman.
I'm not sure. Michael, pretty bright guy, very conservative on the Republican side, but somebody who I think wants to be there for a long time, cares about the state, cares about taxes, cares about business. Pretty bright guy. I think he'll have a shot.
Does having a very conservative potential Senate Majority Leader help or hurt the governor?
Well, I would think that it should help the governor in terms of the tie that he's trying to make. I mean, this is a moderate guy trying to reinvent himself, and so this would give him some backing in his dialogue with the next legislative session in 2013.
Yeah. I'm not surprised at all if this is what Roberson is aspiring to, because I think it was very clear, especially as we moved in towards the latter stages of the session with the floor statements he was making with his very open challenges of the Senate Majority Leader, Stephen Horsfoot, at that time, in terms of the direction that Horsfoot was trying to take it, the state. And I think Roberson kind of self-appointed himself as that spokesperson for the Republicans in the Senate. So I'm not surprised at all that he would have these ambitions.
Jane M. Morrison, writing in the Review Journal, said even Kenny Gwynn would revamp the Millennium Scholarships. Your thoughts on that, and especially with the governor's obvious affection for Kenny Gwynn?
Well, the Millennium Scholarship Program, I think, initially was a good concept. I guess, and I've said this to some people, maybe what the state should do is write the scholarship check when they present a committee with a degree, rather than putting the money up front. I know that's not the intent, but I think we've wasted a lot of money on giving students the Millennium Scholarship. And what's that graduation rate? Right. I have no idea what that graduation rate is. I don't know that anybody does know.
Fred, you're in.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's difficult with graduation rate, especially in a state like Nevada. It takes longer, and we tend to focus on a four-year degree, but the four-year degree takes 6 years to get there. These students are graduating, and we've seen a dramatic improvement in graduation rates as a result of the millennium, much less the going to college rate, which was the real brainchild of it. We went from 50th in the nation to about 40th. So it has done the magic. It's just a question of whether they can find the money for it.
Michael, you have the last 10 seconds here.
I think the most telling thing in that article, I thought, was Dima Gwynn's comments in terms of saying that she didn't think that her late husband would have wanted this money to go to the Millennium Scholarship at the expense of all of the other needy social programs that are out there, and that he would want to go ahead and reconcile and renegotiate how this scholarship is going to continue into the future.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
Renovation, a medical spa by Dr. Charles Burden, offering Restylane and Botox treatments plus a full-service spa. Drift away with a tranquil Swedish massage. Our facials are customized for your specific skin care needs. Rejuvenate the whole body with one of our many body wraps and finish with a professional manicure, pedicure, or makeup application. Renovation, a medical spa. Treatments to refresh your life. 960 Collin Crossing, one block west of McCarran at Plum.
Hi, I'm Dr. Grimes. I specialize in alternative treatment for chronic pain. This treatment stimulates the body to repair damaged, painful areas. This is a non-surgical and permanent treatment for chronic pain. Every year, thousands and thousands of patients go through painful, ineffective surgeries. Think about that. Why go through a major operation when a simpler treatment can solve your pain issues? Call Pinnacle Pain Medicine at 841-7246 for an appointment.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download the show free of charge from iTunes. On the next broadcast, Perry DiLoreto, the developer, will be here. We'll talk about the state's economy regarding housing. See you then.